Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelly Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. Crunch your numbers and get personalized results so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. It's like having a magic wand for your wallet. Presto! The car you've been wanting is now within reach. So hit the road and leave your calculator at home. AutoTrader.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryan over there. And this is Stuff You Should Know About Porcupines, which this is a great idea, Chuck. Good job.
You know, the porcupine, when you take away all those quills, is just a cute little guinea pig, basically.
A giant one.
Yeah, a cute big guinea pig.
Speaking of cute porcupines, dude, do you remember Teddy Bear the Porcupine? Kind of went a little viral a few years ago?
No.
You have to watch Teddy Bear the Porcupine. Specifically, Teddy Bear the Porcupine doesn't like to share on YouTube. And it is this porcupine eating corn on the cob and making all these sounds like Cousin It. And it is one of the cutest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, we want to shout out Live Science, Smithsonian, Mental Floss, the San Diego Zoo, and a couple of other websites that I cobbled together this wonderful bit on one of our wonderful animal friends in the world. We'd love to do these shows. It just made me think, have you seen the octopus documentary thing yet?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
It's been like kind of popping up in my periphery, but I don't really know what it is. Is it just about octopi?
Well, it's called My Octopus Teacher. I haven't seen it yet, but I just know the deal is this guy kind of gets to know one octopus, and that's
right.
You know, a nice story ensues is all I know.
That's neat. We'll have to watch that.
Yeah, I can't wait. But and I mentioned that because, you know, we've long said that the octopus is our favorite animal, but I feel like almost every time we've done one on an animal, yeah. It's on something that we love. And boy, do I love the quill pig.
I do too. Yeah, apparently that's what the their Latin name means, quill pig.
I love that.
That's great. That is fantastic. And it turns out, Chuck, that there are basically two groups that porcupines get lumped into. There's a bunch of different genii. Yeah, that's right. And species. But they basically fall under two categories. It's Old World, which is Europe, Africa, Asia, and the New World, which is North, South, and Central America. And if you saw a porcupine in South America and you saw one in, you know, the Himalayas, you probably would be like, that's a porcupine too. They're not radically different like some Old World and New World animals are.
Yeah, but something I saw that was interesting was that they evolved separately.
What?
One of those, what is it called, coevolutions or whatever?
No, I didn't see that. That is crazy.
I saw that, and I only saw it in one place, so...
I think that might have been a personal hypothesis of somebody who got themselves a website.
I saw it somewhere, though. And then the two actually, the Old World and the New World, have less in common than they do individually with like some other rodents in their area.
Yeah, so I'm actually not surprised to hear that. But the one thing that they do have in common across the board is that they have quills. And that they use their quills defensively. Now, what their quills look like, how they use their quills, there's a lot of other distinctions and differences between Old World and New World, but they all have quills. They're all porcupines. That seems to be the thing that binds them. It's the tie that binds that family.
Yeah, and it's easy to take the porcupine for granted, I think, and just say, mm-hmm. yeah, the little animal with all those quills. But when you take a step back and look at it and think about the evolution of the porcupine that, like I said, it sort of would be a very large, sort of cute little fluffy guinea pig, but it probably got eaten a lot. And then, you know,
they said nuts to this.
Nature steps in. It's like, all right, how about this? What if we were just animal pincushions such that if you came anywhere near us, you would be stabbed repeatedly if you tried to eat us? Like, it's one of the most amazing evolutionary adaptations I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I mean, they can really use those things, too. There's a longstanding myth that they can shoot them, which is not true, but apparently even Aristotle fell for that one.
I know, what a dummy.
But they can use them in some pretty interesting ways, and you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, step back. If you see a porcupine, that is good advice. You should probably step back, because depending on the species, or whether it's Old World or New World, those quills can mess you up pretty good.
Yeah, but also, you know, get nearby and take a look. Like, they're not going to come after you. The porcupine is a very kind-hearted animal.
Yeah.
And those are 100% for defense. A porcupine is never going to charge you and, you know, leap at your belly to put quills all in your stomach. So take a little look, admire it for what it is. I think, you know, to talk about porcupines, a lot of this is talking about the Old World versus the Rush version.
Yeah. So the big differences that I saw, and there's lots of differences between different species within each of these groups, but the Old World versus New World have some big differences between them. And one of them is that Old World are typically terrestrial porcupines. They spend most of their lives on the ground. They live in burrows or caves or rock dens. And New World porcupines, they live on the ground too. They live in burrows, but they're also very capable of climbing trees. And they'll spend a significant amount of time and sometimes nest in trees. And there are some species that spend virtually their whole lives in trees, almost like sloths.
Yeah. Quill-wise, the New World porcupines' quills are going to be shorter and smaller in general. I think they're about 4 inches, 10 centimeters. The Old World dudes and ladies, they can get very long. They can have quills up to 20 inches long. They can be marked with black and white bands. And what they can do is these Old World guys can puff them up. So they stand up and are more intimidating. And look, also, I mean, it's weird because it's like multifold, like four or five different things they do by doing this. They look larger.
Right.
So that's always something that vulnerable animals try to do in the wild. They look like a skunk a little bit because of the black and white marking down their back.
They actually have a defensive musk, kind of like a skunk, but just not nearly as bad.
Yeah, so they try to imitate a skunk a little bit. They look bigger. They rattle. They can shake those things and rattle them, which is another great adaptation to say, like, get away from me. Don't try and eat me.
And supposedly that works pretty well, too.
Yeah, totally. And then if all else fails, they're stabby.
They are stabby. So sometimes the Old World ones will actually charge backwards toward a predator if they're feeling like they want to stand their ground. And that's usually when they're caught out in the open. If they have a place to hide, they'll stick their head in that place to hide and then puff out their quills and make themselves hard to get at. But if they're out in the open, they may decide that they're going to fight off this predator and they'll charge backward. And one other adaptation I saw, which I thought was awesome, they'll have the predator chase it, and then they'll stop all of a sudden, and the predator will run into them in their quills. For real.
And then you hear the sound effect.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because those quills, even though they puff them out, they are pointy generally in the reverse direction.
Right.
Which, you know, which is why they have to back up into something to quill them, or like you said, bury them, just throw on that parking brake real quick, and all of a sudden that fox has got a face full of quill.
Right. So that old world contains a couple of species that are called crested porcupines. And they basically look like if the quills were like an umbrella, it opens at the back of their head.
Yeah.
And just kind of sticks out like that. And like you said, it makes them look a lot bigger. They're a lot more dangerous. The big difference with quills between the old world and the new world, in addition to being shorter, is old world porcupines are covered in quills. That's all they have. I don't know if we said or not, but quills are just modified hair. They're made of keratin. They're just like hair. They're just way stabbier than hair that you and I have.
Well, it's like hair meets fingernails.
Basically, yeah, that's a great way to put it. And old world porcupines, that's all they have are quills. New world porcupines have quills that are also mixed in with fur, like an undercoat, longer hairs, and their quills kind of stand up and are used for defense. It's not all that they have. And the other thing about their quills is that they have little barbs. And new world porcupines' barbs make their new world quills way more dangerous than old world quills.
Yeah, it's like a little fish hook, basically, and it'll, instead of just poking right into you, it'll actually snag in your flesh and makes it, like you said, way, way tougher to get out. A much harder time removing a new world quill than an old world quill.
Right.
But those new world guys are, because their quills start further back, you get the feeling if you just, I wouldn't recommend this, but if you just go very gently and just say, hey, little guy.
Never do that.
I just want to give you a scritch under the chin, and I think you might enjoy it, and I'm going to move very slowly. Just don't turn around, and you'll have a really good time.
I'd like to include a disclaimer here.
Don't do it.
You guys should not listen to Chuck right now. He's doling out some really terrible advice.
Yeah, it's just because those quills start farther back, they got that cute little head and face, and it just makes you want to give them a scritch.
Yeah, no, totally. Like if you watch teddy bear videos, Teddy Bear the Porcupine, you will want to go get one as a pet. There's another one I saw called Diva, and she was a baby porcupine. She's adorable. Yeah, you totally want to do that. And I'm sure there are ways to handle them. But I also saw, you know, one of those zoo guys on a late night talk show. And he had, I think, an African crested porcupine on his lap. And that thing was not at all worried or scared or in any sort of defense mode. And that dude was in pain just letting this thing sit on his lap. Because I don't know, you said, you know, they look like guinea pigs. And I said overgrown guinea pigs. Some of these things can get really big. There's a Cape porcupine. I think it's the biggest one. They get up to like 65 pounds. 65 pounds. It's like a large dog.
Yeah.
Quills, though.
With the quills puffed up?
No, like they're 65 pounds year round. And then but imagine a 65-pound dog with those quills. That's dangerous.
Yeah, what I meant, I know they don't actually weigh more when they puff up, but they can, when they puff those quills out, they can look 2 to 3 times their size. So
right, yeah.
I imagine that thing looks enormous, and actually I don't do this much, but I'm watching that thing eat that corn on the cob right now.
Isn't that adorable?
Yeah, I have to have the sound down, so I'm going to go back and watch it again.
You have to hear the sound. Like, the sound does it. But even without the sound, he's just awfully cute, huh?
Yeah, they kind of look like beavers a little bit, too, and they are related as fellow rodents. Here, I think we should take a break. I'm getting kind of worked up here. And we'll come back and talk more about these cute little stabby suckers right after this.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater. Sip the sky. Okay, Charles, we're back. And we've been talking mostly about quills.
Yeah. So one more thing about quills, and there's going to be more than one more thing about quills, let's be honest. But we said they couldn't shoot them. What they can do, these things do fall out just like hair, and right, they grow just like fingernails and yeah, will eventually fall. So when they shake, they, if they have loose quills, they can fly off, but they're still not like shooting, like Aristotle said, like deadly needle darts.
No, but they can be problematic. Like, these things can puncture the sidewalls of tires. I was reading the blog of some tire company, KAL Tires, I think up in the Yukon, and they said that it's actually, it can be a problem.
Like if you run over one?
Like on some roads, yeah. That, oh, like if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you run over a porcupine quill, you're probably going to get a flat. That's how tough those things are.
Well, that's sad.
What, for your tire?
No, for the porcupine.
For your afternoon? Well, no, you're not running over. Are you still watching teddy bear videos?
No, I thought you said if you run over a porcupine, it can...
Porcupine quill.
Oh, well, I mean, what, is it just a loose quill on the road?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, just a loose quill laying on the road, if you run over it, it goes into your sidewall, you're probably going to get a flat tire. That's how tough those things are.
Okay, I thought you meant if you actually run over a porcupine and you have, like, a bunch of quills.
I that would probably do it, too, especially if the porcupine was in a defensive procedure. But the porcupine doesn't have to die in this case for you to get a flat tire.
So regardless of that sadness, there is sadness in that despite this great adaptation and this great defense mechanism, mm-hmm, they still can be hunted. Lions can still hunt them. Human people, there's the bushmeat trade for the old world porcupines that is, you know, just, you know what that means. And there are, you know, there are owls, wolverines, pythons. There's something called a fisher that looks sort of like a weasel, bear, fox or something. Did you, yeah, look that thing up?
Yeah, I think it's related to otters and weasels.
Okay, but it had a little sort of a bear face. It was interesting. But
they apparently stink too.
Well, they stink in more ways than one because they learned to flip these porcupines over where they have that soft belly meat and no quills as a way to attack them, which really makes me mad.
Yeah, I don't like fishers for that reason either. I'd never heard of them until we started researching this.
And I hadn't either. They're on my hit list.
I don't like them.
Nope.
I just don't like them.
Eat something else.
Yeah, leave the porcupines alone because they're actually pretty nice.
Yeah, and they don't eat, what do they eat? They eat vegetables and fruits and berries and nuts and tubers and roots.
Yeah, so they eat all those things. They'll also eat crops, which is, porcupines are considered a nuisance, especially if you're a farmer or even a gardener in the suburbs, because they will eat your root vegetables. They will eat corn,
love corn.
Apparently. but they'll also, they have another thing too, where they need sodium in their diet.
This is so weird.
They actually need They need a pretty even ratio of 1-to-1 of potassium to sodium for their electrical conductivity in their body to work. But they don't get much sodium in their diet. Plants have lots of potassium, not much sodium. So they have to go find it elsewhere. And it turns out we humans have a lot of stuff that has sodium in it. Apparently, plywood glue contains a lot of sodium. So they love eating wood structures we build out of plywood. The salt that we put on the roads gets kicked up on the underside of our car. So you might find a porcupine chewing on the tires or the hoses or belts or wires under your car.
Yeah, I saw that they would even, because the humans sweat so much salt when they're working, that they'll go, like if you have some wooden pruners in your shed, they'll go in there and they'll start eating the handle of your pruners because it just has residual human salt left over on it.
Right. You just walk in, you're like, are you nuts? What is wrong with you, you porcupine?
Just set up a salt lick for those fellas.
Yeah, well, they'll find anywhere they can find a natural salt lick, they'll definitely eat that too. But yes, anything that has human sweat on it, even trace amounts of human sweat, they'll go bonkers for.
They'd love
like
me.
They eat oars, paddles, that kind of stuff. So, but yes, typically they eat leaves, stems, they eat shoots and leaves. they also, though, and this is another reason why they're considered a nuisance, they eat the bark off of the tree. So they're considered generalists. They'll eat just about any kind of vegetation.
Yeah.
Which is actually, and they're also super adaptable, which is why you'll find porcupines almost anywhere there's vegetation. But that's what they eat, you know, in spring, summer, fall. And then in winter, they don't hibernate, which actually makes them kind of unusual as well. But they go from being generalists to what's known as facultative specialists, meaning their diet becomes very limited to just one or two types of trees. And not just one or two types of trees. During the winter, they may just feed on the inner bark of one tree. And that can be problematic because the inner bark is where nutrients and water moves from the roots to the rest of the tree. And if that porcupine eats all the way around it, what's called girdling a tree, it can kill or seriously damage that tree.
Yeah. So if you have a problem, if you live in the woods and stuff and you see a tree, it could be a beaver, but either way, you kind of handle it the same. You can wrap like chicken wire around it, around the bottom, or some sort of aluminum or something sheeting to keep the beaver and or porcupine from gnawing on that thing.
Yeah, and I would guess you'd want to wear work gloves because the salt from the sweat in your hands is just going to attract them to that chicken wire.
They eat. They're nocturnal, so they're mainly doing this stuff at night. They're patrolling around. They're defending their areas that they feed.
I saw both. I saw that they're territorial. I saw that they're also not territorial.
Yeah, it probably depends with, you know, so many different species. Because they will travel outside their home range if they want to get a mate or if they need that salt. They're usually, they're fairly solo flyers, although sometimes you'll see a couple of them. They may be mated, they may be siblings. I don't think we mentioned that the old world porcupines are actually really good swimmers.
Both of them are, from what I understand.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and New World will actually go swim out to gather aquatic plants. They swim more than the Old World does, but they just swim to collect plants, and then they bring it back to the shore to eat.
Yeah, and they're living in they'll like sleep in trees sometimes. The climbers will, but it seems like they make use of other animals' dens when they're not around and they have left. Like they'll go to an aardvark den that has been abandoned or a hole, and they will change it around, maybe knock down some walls, open up that floor plan.
Yeah, so, put an island in the kitchen.
Yeah, of course. Got to have the big island.
Sure.
And then, you know, they'll just adapt it to their needs because obviously they're a little puffier than the aardvark.
Yeah, and in doing so, Chuck, a question that I kept running up against was, what role do porcupines play in the ecosystem? And they think that one of the big roles they play is by basically disturbing stuff. They disturb the soil when they're digging and burrowing and everything.
Oh, interesting.
And they found that through that they propagate way more seeds than would otherwise be propagated if they weren't around. So forests are much more diverse with them in it than without them because of all of their scratching and moving and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it seems like for rodents, they live a long time. They can live in the wild. I mean, I sort of saw a wild range anywhere from
I did too.
3 to 5 years in the wild to like 10 years in the wild. I saw one that lived to be 18. I saw the record was 25, mm-hmm. which I think was second only to a beaver. As far as the rodent record, I think there was a 28-year-old beaver once.
I saw one in Brazil was can live up to 27 years in captivity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's long lived. But yeah, I saw 3 to 5 years too. And I guess it just depends on the species, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing about their feeding habits is they eat seasonally.
Right.
They're little hipsters. They eat seasonally and locally. So depending on what's there, they will, I think in the winter, they'll eat more evergreen needles and the inner bark of the trees and stuff like that.
Right.
And then, you know, when those sweet berries come around or when that corn crop is coming in, just look mm-hmm. out.
Then they turn back into generalists.
That's right.
So I feel like we cannot go any further. We can't dance around the fact that porcupines copulate. And when they do copulate, they produce offspring. And we should talk about that.
Yeah. Should we break or should we do this and then break?
I feel like we're going to need to take a break after this.
Okay. So porcupines have stabby quills.
That point backwards.
That's right. And if you know how a rodent and a mammal like this would have sex, it is from something, a male approaching the female from the rear.
Yeah.
Right where those things are pointing. And so you think, how do they do this? What happens is the males are going to, they're going to vie for the female. Like so many animals, they have these sort of noisy battles and they whine and they stomp when they win and stomp their tail and try to impress the lady, puff their quills out. And mm-hmm. if the lady says, all right, I think you might be a good match for me. What does he do?
He sprays urine all over her.
That's right.
She goes, that was wonderful. Uh-huh. Let's go, big boy.
Yeah, I'm going to lay down my quills.
Yeah.
And
just move the tail to the side.
It's business time.
Right.
Yeah, because the tail is barbed. I don't think we said that either.
No, but like all the quills are barbed, right?
Well, no, I think the actual tail is barbed.
Oh, good Lord.
As yeah, well, so. Which can help with the climbing and stuff.
Right. So I think it would take being sprayed with urine to you would want to reach that level of commitment to make sure that you could trust that barbed tail is going to be kept to the side.
Like,
you know?
Are we really in? Are we in?
Right. And then, yes, that definitely says, yes, you're in. You're in. Get it?
Yep.
I told you we would need a break. Let's take one, shall we?
All right. And we'll talk about porcupets right after this.
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
And you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 25129288 87, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep, Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey friends, did you know that it's estimated that 85% of all customer service interactions are automated?
Yeah, it's true, and customers are the lifeblood of all business. So you probably don't want to put that responsibility in the hands of a robot. And that's why thousands of business owners call Ruby and hire them.
That's right. Ruby is the virtual receptionist company who screens, transfers, and takes messages 24/7, all while making your customers feel special.
Yep, you definitely don't want to hire a subpar front desk person. And with Ruby, they engage with your callers in a conversational way, just like your best employee would.
That's right. Finding someone who cares about your business as much as you do feels impossible at times, but the team at Ruby are experts in providing the best customer experience and turn every ring into a relationship.
Yep, this year can be your best year yet. Small, efficient changes can make a huge impact on your bottom line.
That's right, and Ruby answers all of your calls live from right here in the U.S. They'll take messages, answer questions, route calls, and much more. Visit ruby.com, or better yet, give them a call at 844-900-RUBY.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
So, Chuck, the porcupines have copulated. Mm-hmm. They were successful, and the female has now gestated for 205 to 217 days.
Yeah.
And what did you say were just born?
Porcupets.
Like
cute?
E-T-T-E-S.
Yeah, not pets as in something you keep, but yeah, little porcupets.
Like a like the 50s singing group girl version of the porcupines.
Randy Porcupine and the Porcupets.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and here's where it got a little confusing, because I saw different stuff depending on where I looked. And again, it may be according to species. I saw that they rarely have more than one at a time. I also saw that sometimes they have up to four. But let's just say between one and four per litter. Yeah. And they stay with their mommies for a little longer than what I found. It says, and I think from the San Diego Zoo, just a few months, but I also saw anywhere from 12 to 24 months, and they at least need that mother's milk for like 6 months.
And I think it really depends on the species. Like I saw the largest ones, the Cape porcupine, they actually stay in family units of a mom and a dad and one to two kids.
Oh, so, interesting, because the dad's usually out of there with the porcupines.
Right, right. So, yeah, especially with North American porcupines. I feel like a lot, because we're in America, a lot of the info we got was for North American porcupines,
yeah,
and
probably.
People just called it porcupines, mm-hmm. which required a lot more digging. But I feel like... with North American porcupines, it's like, hey, good luck with the kids. And then the mom has the kid and is like, hey, I'm weaning you. Good luck with the rest of your life. And then they live this kind of solitary, happy existence, digging around and eating tree bark.
Yeah. And if you think the porcupet is as soft and cute as you would imagine, you are correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those needle-like quills start to stiffen up very quickly, but it kind of starts 3 or 4 days later, and then I imagine takes a little while to reach full, you know, kind of hard quill version.
Yeah, and I saw conflicting information too. I saw that they were born precocious, where they had a full set of teeth, their eyes were open, and then it just took a few hours for their quills to harden into like adult
Quillage?
That was even take two, Chuck. Yes, adult Quillage. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I also saw their eyes were closed for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So, don't know. It's possible it's different species. It's also possible the San Diego Zoo just got a bunch of stuff wrong.
Well, that's always possible. Great zoo. I've been there. I know we did an episode on zoos and whether or not they were ethical, so you can go make up your own mind about that. But
isn't that where Jack Hanna hailed from? Wasn't he a San Diego Zoo guy?
I feel like that's probably true.
Let's just say it is.
I got something else on these quills. They have an antiseptic...
Wait a minute. I thought we were done with quills, you said.
No. Never done with quills.
Okay.
They have an antiseptic quality, apparently.
Oh, wow.
In case of self-stabbage.
That's awesome. I hadn't seen that, actually. And I think we should say, too, just one more thing about quills. I'm breaking my own rules here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like modified hair, they grow back when they're shed. They're like constantly shedding and growing quills.
Yeah, and like I said, you should not approach one in the wild, but they may carry rabies, but other than that, they don't really carry any other diseases
that we need to worry about. Yeah, like if you wanted to love porcupines anymore, there you go. Like you could snuggle one and you don't have to worry about any diseases.
Yes, but don't eat them like they do in some parts of the world. They are in pretty good shape, but they have been exterminated in certain parts of Africa because they do eat root crops, so they're a nuisance pest, so they get rid of them. People can collect. You like that? They can collect the quills for ornamentation. And I think there's a couple of them that are listed as vulnerable. And very sadly, of course, because their habitat is being lost.
Yes, but globally, porcupines are under, they're considered of least concern.
Yeah.
Which itself is concerning because they're considered pests in a lot of places. So they're eradicated. I think it was the Maryland DNR, the Do Not Resuscitate Agency, said that on their site that porcupines used to be in the southeastern United States, but they were eradicated. I didn't know that, and I've never heard that, and I couldn't find it anywhere else, but I don't know why the DNR would make that up.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen one in the wild.
They do not live in the southeast, but the Maryland DNR is saying, like...
I've traveled all over the world. Right. I'm not saying in my backyard.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, we were talking about the Southeast. You can imagine I fell for that one.
No, I'm just trying to think if I've seen one like camping out west or anything. I don't know if I've ever seen one.
I never have. I would think you would definitely remember seeing a porcupine in real life.
Probably. Armadillos everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And you know, they carry Hansen's disease, so don't get close to them. Porcupines don't carry any communicable diseases that humans are concerned about.
Except rabies.
Yeah, they can be rabid, but all mammals can be rabid, you know?
So should we talk about what happens, you know, if you just Google porcupine and dog, you're going to get a lot of very sad pictures of curious dogs who stuck their snout where they shouldn't and are barbed all over the nose and snout. Not good.
No, and there's a lot of things that you want to do and don't want to do if that happens to your dog, because it's actually really bad if that happens. So if your dog is, if you ever see a porcupine on a hike with your dog, get your dog away from that porcupine, not just for the porcupine's sake. Like if a porcupine goes into a defensive posture, it's scared to death.
Yeah.
It's not, it might seem all tough and angry. It's scared. That's why it's doing that. But also, it could really mess your dog up. So for at least your dog's sake, get your dog away from the porcupine. And if you fail to do that quickly enough and your dog does take some quills in its face, in its neck, wherever, those things can, because especially in the New World porcupine, that their quills have barbs, they can migrate further and further inward. They're not going to work themselves out. They're going to actually work themselves in. So you want to take your dog to a vet, like, your dog gets quilled, you get in the car, you go to the vet. That's the order of how everything happens. You don't stop and get a double cheeseburger. Yeah. You don't like go home and like read the paper first. Like you go straight to the vet because your dog's going to need to go under general anesthesia to have those things removed. That's how bad of a jam it is.
Yeah, I'm actually going to amend that with your permission because what the first thing you should do and hopefully you're with someone else. If you've got, it really, it would be great if you have two people in on this, one, mm-hmm. one to drive and mm-hmm. one to keep your dog from messing with their face.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Because they're going to, if there's quills poking in a dog's face, they're going to paw at it. They're going to try and rub their nose on the ground. Yeah. And that is bad, 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 because those quills yeah. are just going to go further and further in. So yeah. you really, really need to do your best to hold on to your dog, hold their head up, and keep their paws away from their face. And like you said, go straight to that vet, because you don't try and remove them yourself. You're no. you're only going to make it worse, and that's like guaranteed.
There's also supposedly a myth that if you clip the porcupine quill, it deflates it and makes it easier to come out. They're not inflated with air.
No.
So clipping, it's not going to deflate anything.
Is that Aristotle?
Yeah, and it actually can make the quill shatter. Because imagine like a really hard claw or something like that being clipped with some scissors, it's going to shatter some. And if enough of a piece shatters far enough down, it can reach the skin level. And then if it works its way in, all of a sudden you just made it that much harder to get out, because you just added a new barb, which is that shattered jagged edge that used to be intact before you cut it like a knucklehead.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the instinct, if you don't know what's going on, to be to clip them, because if they're really long and sticking out of their face, it looks terrible. Yeah. Or to yeah. try and just yank them out. But
do not do
yeah,
that.
Don't do either one of those things. Another big reason why is the risk of infection is really, really big. Yeah. I mean, they have multiple stab wounds, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they, like you said, the only solution is general anesthesia. I mean, it's not surgery, but it's not surgery.
No. And they, you know, some of these may not ever be able to come out, and your pets is going to have a lifetime of being monitored to make sure they don't migrate toward a joint or an organ or the back of their eye, who knows, where, depending on where they got stabbed with the quill. So I think it was the ASPCA that said the best way to deal with this is to prevent it from ever happening. Just don't let your dog anywhere near a porcupine. It's just not worth the risk.
Yeah.
And you're going to scare the porcupine too.
Yeah. And if you live in porcupine country, don't ever let your dog out of the house.
No. As a matter of fact, just keep it wrapped in bubble wrap at all times.
Toilet train them.
Yeah. Or just change the bubble wrap. Let them pee in the bubble wrap.
Yeah. Just get tons and tons of bubble wrap. And then don't throw it away. Don't recycle it. Uh-huh. Put it in a huge pile at the end of each season in your front yard and melt it with a blowtorch.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe mix it with acetone first.
Yes.
I've got two more porcupine facts, if you will indulge me.
Let's hear it.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
In the 70s in the UK was a swinging time for porcupines, apparently, mm-hmm. because there was a population of Himalayan porcupines, crested, I believe, in South Devon, in the wild, because they'd escaped from the zoo sometime in the 70s and lived on the lam for a decade. And the same thing happened in Staffordshire with a kind of crested porcupine, mm-hmm. where they had a wild population because they escaped from the zoo, too.
Is that near Stoke-on-Trent?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Tom.
All right.
If that's near Stoke-on-Trent. All right, you got anything else again?
I got nothing else.
Okay. Well, that's it for porcupines, everybody. Go watch teddy bear videos. You're going to love them. And since I said teddy bear, it's time for listener mail.
Man, I can't wait to turn up the volume on this.
It's going to knock your socks right off.
I do. This teddy bear is probably on Instagram, I would imagine. But I do follow that groundhog on Instagram.
Oh,
Chunk?
I think I know. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Chunk the Groundhog. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. This is from, Don, the Black Cowboy. Did you see this one?
Oh, yeah. This is great.
It's fantastic. We did a short stuff on Black Cowboys in history and how they've long been overlooked. So if for some weird reason you don't listen to short stuffs, you should.
Yeah.
We never kind of promote that, but it's just like Stuff You Should Know, but it's shorter.
Yeah, what's your problem? Listen.
Hey, guys. My name is Don, and I'm a 25-year-old black cowboy from Texas. I, along with my brother, am also a second-generation amateur farrier as well. My father taught us after learning the trade growing up on our family farm, then later going into horseshoeing as a side career. When I saw your episode about blacksmithing, I was eager to hear if you mentioned farriers in it and thought I might finally write in. Then, when you came out with a Black Cowboy episode, all of my friends shared the episode with me, so I knew I had to write. As a kid, our family did trail rides, rodeos, and horse races nearly every weekend. Since leaving my hometown for college and beyond, I've often been the first introduction to Black Cowboys slash farmers for most people. There's a large community of Black Cowboys and farmers still surviving, regardless of the systemic issues we face. Whenever it's safe again, I'd like to invite anyone hearing this out to our annual trail ride Easter weekend to get a chance to experience the lifestyle.
Isn't that cool?
Dude, I so want to do this.
So he sent a flyer, too, and it looks super interesting.
It does. It looks awesome.
Yeah, so they hold it over Easter weekend, and you just basically go live the cowboy life for a weekend.
I love it.
And it's like 10 bucks or something like that, too.
Yeah, it's not like some city slicker scam.
No, Don doesn't stick it to you. Don will give it to you straight.
That's right.
10 bucks.
Straight shooter. He says, love the podcast. Really helped keep me company these last few years in the Peace Corps. So Don is my new most interesting man in the world, I think.
He is one of the more well-rounded Stuff You Should Know listeners we've heard from in a while.
Yeah, and he says, P.S., yes, I did ride my horse to school. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Don. Hats off to you. 10-gallon hat, even.
Literally.
Thank you for the invite. We may see you one of these Easter weekends on your trail ride. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email too, to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's Rainwater.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.